Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor at Forward Church in Chiefland, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
So, never in a message preparation have I come across so much turmoil. This message has got to be the most powerful message that I've ever preached because I've never dealt with, are there any babies in here, so much hell leading up to a message than this one. I got sick as a dog Saturday night. Tried to get out of it. Bradley wouldn't let me. I said, dude, you got to preach Wednesday. I'm not going to make it. I probably prepped, pardon this, it's probably TMI, but I probably prepped over half of this message on the porcelain. Because it's been bad between me and Sarah and Jenna. I don't know how Bryson lucked up and didn't get it, but holy smokes. So I think this is a good one. And I don't think the devil wants us to hear it. Because anytime you come up against opposition or oppression, it's for a reason. If you're gliding through, there's probably a chance that you're not pushing. Okay, because when you start pushing weights up and you start hitting close to that max, you feel some pressure pushing back down on you, trust me. Let's get started tonight. John 3:16, everybody knows this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his only son, why? Because he loves us. In love, many had to do something. Because love requires action. Without love having an action, how do we really know what love is? If something is not done to show us love, if God has never done anything but in the Bible tell us over and over again that he loves us, how do we truly know that he loves us? He gave us his only son. That's how he showed us. In the same way that we give someone a gift, it's not because they expect it or that they feel obligated that they should receive a gift, but because we love them, and we do that out of love to show them that we love them. It's a natural response in our nature as a way of showing somebody that, hey, we love you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, love gives. That's the message tonight. The title is Love Gives. I preached a message very similar to this one back in 2017. I was curious because I was praying about what to preach on, and no, Bradley didn't ask me to preach this message. I'm not getting paid to preach this message. Don't want to get paid to preach this message. This message is for you guys. Love gives. Genesis 28 talks about Jacob. Let me give you a quick snippet about Jacob. He wasn't a giver by nature. He was a taker. He cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright, which entitled him to twice as much of their father's inheritance. When he worked for his father-in-law, he took advantage of him too. But one night, Jacob had a life-changing dream. And when he woke up the next morning, he told God, he said, of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth of it. Jacob wasn't motivated by law because law hadn't been passed at this point for them to tithe in the Old Testament. Jacob was motivated by his love for God. See, you can give without loving. You can give under pressure. You can give to impress somebody. You can give to get a tax deduction. But you can't do the opposite. You can't love without giving. Because if I tell Brother Bobby I love you over and over and over again, and it's just on the phone, but me and him never have any other interaction, never eat together, never hang out together, he doesn't truly know that I love him. You're never more like God than when you're in the act of giving. Ever. If that's your time, if that's your support to somebody, if that's a phone call when they need it, if that's prayers for Brother Scott, prayers for Brother Tom, I think Kelby's getting ready for a surgery that I saw. So while we're right there in that moment, write their names down, Brother Tom, Brother Scott, and Kelby, and show them that you love them and send them a message and let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're praying for them. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Tithing is about putting God and His kingdom first. When self, home, business, and pleasure come first in our life, our priorities are out of whack. Our priorities are messed up. Tithing reverses that order and puts God where He rightfully belongs, and that's in position number one. When God instructs us to tithe, He's telling us to establish the habit of putting Him in the number one slot as a life principle. When you do, Jesus said, all these things that we're so concerned about will be added unto us. So if you just get your priorities right, He's going to take care of you. You can believe that. It's all over the Bible. I'm not going to read 100 scriptures at you tonight because I got a lot to go through. So let's look at something here. First, before we go any further, I want to tell you a story. I told this story back in 2017, but there's a lot of new people in here, so I want to tell it again. When Sarah and I first got together, Sarah wasn't employed. I had been a believer for quite some time, and I had been a tither from the time that I started, and I'll tell you the story of when I started to become a tither. Sarah was unemployed. She had been applying for jobs everywhere. I asked her, before we got serious, I said, I'm a tither. And I explained to her what that meant. She already knew. I said, if God never blesses me again, the fact that He saved my soul is enough for me to give to Him for the rest of my life. And I'm going to give it to Him. What's His? I don't care if I'm hungry. I don't care if I'm poor. I don't care if I have any clothes to put on my back. I'm going to give to God what's His. What I've learned through the Word is His. He's going to get it. So if that's going to be a problem, then we can't go any further. It's not a problem. Within the first week of us becoming official as a couple and us tithing together, Sarah got 3 job interviews within the first week. Took a job, started at Taco Bell, worked at Taco Bell for about 6 months, jumped over to Mitch's, worked at Mitch's for like a year, went from Mitch's, applied for a job at the health department in Bronson that had absolutely nothing to do with nursing. Had a little setback mentally because she didn't get the job at the health department that she wanted, but God had better for her. Because at the same time she got told no at the health department called her back a couple weeks later and said, hey, in your interview, you said you wanted to be an RN, right? Well, there's a position open in Gilchrist County. You can actually be a nurse at Trenton Elementary School if you want to do that. So she jumped over to Trenton Elementary School and actually got to be in the medical field there while she took her prerequisites. Went to RN school after getting denied twice at Shands, became a trauma nurse at Shands within, the last 2 years maybe? Was a trauma nurse there. The schedule was killing us. So at the time she was told that there was no other positions open at Shands in the field that she wanted to go in, the guy calls her, that's the head of central staffing where you can actually make your schedule and get a $4 an hour raise, and said, hey, I have a position open for you if you want it. So I'm not telling you that to puff my chest out for my family. I'm telling you that because if you'll give God what's God's, He'll take care of you and you won't be in need. So instead of saying, I'm giving God my tithe, we should say, I'm giving God His tithe. But we say, I earned it, so I own it. Not true. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, God owns every square foot of real estate on earth and every person who walks in it, including us. We're not an owner, we're a steward. Just like Bradley's a steward of this house, we're a steward of our money. And while a good steward deserves a good blessing, a good reward from his master, his first priority is to please his master and carry out what his master desires, correct? Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. We have to get our thinking straight on this issue. In God's eyes, 10% of our income is dedicated funds to be used for one thing, his purposes here. I've said this before. I said it in 2017, and I recalled it and kind of got a laugh out of it. I'd rather 90% of what I earn be blessed than 100% of what I earn be cursed. Amen? Because y'all know some crazy junk can happen. Air conditioners can go out in vehicles while your washing machine's giving you some problems, and then your health starts giving you some problems, and you can dump some money in a hurry. So I'd much rather have 90% of it and it be good than 100% of it and it be bad. I was going through some crap one time. I took my truck to Cole. The dang air conditioner was going out, and I can't have that. He put it on the machine for me, and all of a sudden it started working again. I'm like, what'd you do? He said, nothing. He said, come back when it quits again. And it ain't stopped yet. That was what? That was friggin' what, 5 years ago? A couple years ago? Yeah. I'm telling you, when you're a tither, you can be like that. You can have that attitude. Be like, I don't have time for this. Your word, I'll get to it. Your word says that you'll open up the floodgates of heaven for me because I give. I don't have time for this bullcrap. That's pretty much that. I was mad. It was hot. It was like June, 100 degrees. I wasn't having it. I'm like, we got to fix this baby and get some artificial air up in here. And I was mowing. That's right. And tithing isn't just how the church raises its budget, because I know that these messages come across like that, and this is not an easy message to preach, and I'm going to get more into that in a minute too. But it's how God raises his children. There are kids back here. That's how God raises his children, is through tithe. Without tithe, without people willing to give, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight, because that's what this church lives off of. We're not under a Baptist congregation. Okay, we don't receive funds from any congregation. We receive funds from the people that you're sitting beside and the people that attend this ministry. I got permission to tell you all this. The rent here is over $2,500 a month. Okay? That's just the rent. That's not the utilities. That's not the expense of what it costs to run a children's ministry. Okay? That's not any paid staff members other than a few. Okay, that have vital roles here. In order to get, I think this message is so critical tonight, and the reason I've come under so much crap is because the vision that God has for this church of where he wants to take this place is not here in a rental facility. Amen. You follow me? Yes, it's 20 acres somewhere. It's our own building. Who all went to the marriage conference? Who went and saw that church? I've been there 5 or 6 times and wish I could have went this year. I'm not saying that we are going to have that, but we're going to have something pretty daggum close. I'm here to tell you, I've been in this church 2009, 2010. I've been in the old building. I've been when this was cut off and nothing was back there, and it was just this little strip right here from that pole over there. And then I was here for the blowout. It's coming. It's coming faster than you know it, and that's why the devil don't want this message preached tonight. Don't get the wrong idea about this message, because nobody's here to get rich. If Bradley and Amy came here to get rich, they wouldn't be here no more, I'm telling you. But I can tell you what we are interested in. Bradley and Amy, the leadership team here, the financial team here, we're interested in seeing the lost reached. I promise you that. I promise you. But I'm going to tell you how it's going to get done. Us. Because I've pulled up out there to that new house I'm building that I've wanted to strike a match to now several times. And I've told God, I said, if you'll just do it all for me, I won't say nothing to nobody. If you want to hang all them lights in there and wire up all them electrical boxes, I won't tell nobody you did it. Let me just walk in here and it be done and we'll call it good. It's not going to happen that way. God wants this ministry to go places that we haven't talked about, that we haven't dreamed about, that we haven't envisioned. He wants to take us there. But without each and every one of us pulling weight, it's not going to happen. Without me going out there and spending countless hours out there away from my family, we're not going to move there. Because every day when I get there, nothing else is done. But he's enabled me and equipped me and given me the right people to get it done. And that's the same thing he's going to do here. I don't know of a better example to give you than that, than what I'm going through right now, because it's been hard. We're going on 16 or 17, I don't even know, a friggin' long time, and it's not done. And people ask me every day, when you moving in? Ask me again. You're gonna see flames from the city of Chiefland because I'm about done with it. I leave there frustrated some days. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, son, daughter, give me thine heart. When God has our heart's deepest affection, we will give gladly, not grudgingly. The first man in Scripture to tithe was Abraham. Why did he do it? Gratitude, because God had just saved him from somebody that was trying to destroy him. Has God delivered any of us in here? Absolutely. Has he delivered anybody that we know and prayed for? Absolutely. Has he blessed us? Absolutely. Then show your gratitude and give him what's his. I told this story to you back in 2017, but it kind of brought a smile to my face when I thought about him, because I hadn't thought about him in quite a while because he passed. And is Miles Hilliard, is he any relation to Buddy? I didn't think so. I love that man. He's Corey Hilliard's dad, and we used to be really, really tight. I used to spend a lot of time over there. And this kind of, it didn't catch me the first time that I told this message in 2017, something similar to it. But I told this same story, but we got a lot of new people in here. One of the most important things to Miles when he found out that I'd gotten saved and baptized, he told me this story. He told me that when him and Corey's mother, Beverly, had first gotten married, they were in really, really bad shape financially. And they had just started going to church, had just started reading the Bible, and they were trying to turn a new leaf over in their life. And he wouldn't mind me telling you this, that drugs were really bad between him and Beverly back in those times. And he was down to his last $20. And he told Beverly, he said, what do we have to lose at this point? He said, $20 ain't going to pay the bills. He said, so we got 20 bucks or we don't got 20 bucks. He said, they're going to cut the lights off. He said he said a prayer to God that day at church. He said he put that $20 in the tithe pot because it didn't matter. It wasn't going to make a difference. He said when he got home, Miles was a carpenter. He's really, really good with wood. He built that whole house that's across the street from mine by himself. And he said when he got home, he had a little wood shop where he made like clocks and rustic furniture and stuff. Really, really, really skilled. He showed me some stuff that he made before he passed. He said there were cars lining his driveway after church and made over $250 on a day that everyone in this community knew he was closed. Now, somebody that's a real logic guy like me, I'm like, is that really true? What motive would a Christian guy like Miles have in telling me that out of everything that you could tell a new believer in Christ, it was give God what's his, and you'll never be in need again? So I don't have any reason not to believe that story. I believe it wholeheartedly, because he could have told me how to pray. He could have told me how to read the word. I mean, I was a new Christian, and the first thing he told me was that story, to give God what's his, and you'll never have another worry, you or your family. Never have another worry. That's pretty powerful. When you honor the Lord in your business, he will bless your business. That's not just for business owners. That's in anything that you do. Imagine the advantage you'd have in the marketplace with God as your partner. Many famous Christian business people throughout history were faithful tithers. I didn't know some of this, including Henry John Hines of Hines 57 Varieties and William Colgate, the toothpaste guy. Some of these people were so blessed that before their lives were over, they gave 90% of their income. Not 10, 90, and lived off the other 10. Malachi 3:10, y'all have heard this a bunch of times, but I'm going to make a point with it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. All the nations will call you blessed. When you demonstrate that God's business means more to you than your own, he will prosper you. And he invites you to test him. The only place I've ever found in the Bible, he would invite you to test him in this. How long have you known that you should tithe, wanted to tithe, said you were going to, and yet you've never gotten around to it? Start now and start with what you have. I'm telling you as a young guy, still got hopefully a lot of future ahead of me and my family, I'm very blessed, and please don't look at this like I'm out here to puff my chest out at you guys or that I'm any better. I'm not. I started this young, and I've walked in it, and he's blessed me a lot. What you can do now is the only influence you have over your future. John D. Rockefeller is reputed to have made the following statement concerning the habit of tithing. I never would have been able to tithe my first $1 million had I not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. That's crazy. I hear Creflo Dollar all the time talk about starting his ministry in like a some kind of women's center or something. There was like 20 chairs in there. His church is huge. Deuteronomy 14:23, if y'all are writing that down, don't get that wrong. The purpose of tithing is to teach us always to put God first in our lives. Tithing demonstrates that you've conquered self-interest, that you've conquered putting money before God. It's a demonstration of faith, and God will always reward faith. Always. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness." Now this is where it becomes tricky for us. See, we put God in a bind when, even when we get our priorities straight, if they're still fragile, and our mind isn't quite made up yet what we're going to do with our money. Because God's not going to overbless us to the point where it corrupts us. So sometimes we start tithing and we don't understand why things aren't happening the way that he says, and we don't feel like the floodgates of heaven are opened over us. It may be because our priorities are still fragile. Because he loves us. He's perfect in what he does. He's not going to force us to do anything. He's a perfect gentleman. Maybe our priorities are a little bit fragile still. Because the Bible tells you money's a powerful thing. Our whole world operates on money. It's extremely powerful. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle when you're surrendered to him. He's not going to do it. And the flip side of that, you've got the devil. He don't care if Lil Wayne is rich. He don't care if Lil Wayne is buying his 10th vacation home. What good is he doing for God's kingdom? The devil don't care about that. But if you and I get our hands on $1 million and we start blessing people with it, we start building churches with it, it's going to piss the devil off. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm sorry, I knew I was going to get a little fired up, but the devil don't care about Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne's doing exactly what the devil wants him to do. And I'm just using him as an example. There's more out there. I don't know. He might be getting his life straight right now, but I'm just going off of what I've seen in the past. He ain't doing nothing right. He's out there making these little boys do bad, do worse. I've heard some of his lyrics. Good God, have mercy on him if he has to see Jesus before he changes. I'm telling you straight up. But the devil cares. The devil cares if Miss Sabrina is the future tax collector. He cares. And there's going to be hell getting there. I haven't even talked to her, but I guarantee you, it's taking a toll. Building this house and getting out of a single-wide mobile home is about to kill me. Bradley knows it. Bradley's even tried to get me to get people out there and tell me not to go back out there. He said, just get it finished and move in when it's done. I'm not wired like that. I can't do it. Generous people live at large. I love this verse, and I don't know how I missed this verse. I'm going to make a confession, y'all. I missed this verse. I just found this verse whenever I started preparing this message. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. That's Proverbs 11:24-25. That's pretty profound. Anybody ever seen the Christmas Carol? The Scrooge. He's like this miserable, self-centered, sits over counting his money, right? And then he starts to see the needs of all the others, and he gets happy, he starts giving, and his world goes from this to he sees everything. And that's an extremist example, but Proverbs can't say it any better with that example, that he just opened up to this wide and spacious life after that when he started to see the needs of others, and you start blessing others. And it makes me think about my sister when she came back from Costa Rica. You know, all of her friends stepped up, and, you know, we stepped up what we could, and My mom stepped up because Brandy had nothing. You know, Brandy had been gone for several years and was coming back to nothing. And Tia let her live in the trailer up north of Chiefland. And, you know, people gave her furniture. And, I mean, she was just receiving. And I went over one day, and she pretty much had everything she needed. And she's like, thank God. I'm like, what? She said, I'm so tired of getting blessings from people. I just feel like I'm ready to bless. Like, I want to get myself to a point where I can be a blessing to others and not just receive. And so I guess that scripture is true, right? It's better to give than to receive. I'm going to try not to get too fired up on this, okay? I don't give out of obligation. I don't give out of routine. I don't give to impress anybody. I don't give for an income tax deduction because it ain't going to matter. I give because, most importantly, God saved my soul, for one. And if he saved my soul, he can take care of my money. He can take care of my family. He can take care of me out there in uniform. I give because I stood beside for many years and think very dearly of the two former leaders of this house. I give because I think very dearly and love the two current leaders of this house. I give because I love this church, my family. I give because I love the vision of this church. And I give because I love this city. The city that I strap a vest on for a couple days a week and carry a handgun and prowl around in the middle of the night and snatch evil out of their own houses to keep them away from you guys. I give for that reason. I give because I love the people of this city, because a lot of the people in this city are my family. A lot of the people of this city are my friends. And I want to do everything possible to make sure that this ministry, other ministries, grow to the point where we can reach all of them. That's the reason that each and every one of us, it's so critical, because I can't do it all. Not yet. I can't do it all. I'm teasing. Not yet. That was a joke. But I can't do it all. We all have to pull our own weight and help. Because I'm telling you, this leadership team has visions of what we want to do and where we want to go and ways we want to reach people, but it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. And as we stand, I'm going to let Cole come and close us in prayer. If you want to kill the lights. Guys, I believe in us. I believe that everything we need is right here. And anything that we do need, God's going to bring it. There's 20 acres coming for this ministry. There's our own building coming for this ministry, and it's going to happen quicker than you think. And that's why the devil did everything he could to keep me from preaching this message, to the point I called Bradley and said, I can't. He said, you'll be better by Wednesday. I'm going to be praying for you. I said, all right, man, if you say so, because I was hurting. But the God we serve is limitless. What we envision is not what he has more. What we can see, he has more. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. But don't forget, this message, God paves his streets and heavens with gold. It's scripture. There ain't enough money. Lil Wayne could give every penny to God. He's got it. Don't make a difference to God. Don't make a difference to God. The devil stripped Job of everything Job had, and God gave him double and triple of everything that he had that the devil stripped him of, everything. This message is more for you than it is for anybody else. Because I'm standing here as a 29-year-old telling you, been tithing since I was 20, 21, God will take care of you. My family's never needed. I may want some things and have to wait a little while to get them. I've been wanting to move into this house since a couple days after I started building it. It ain't happened yet, but it's going to. And when it does, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So don't forget, this message is for you guys. I'm just an encouraging vessel. I'm right there with you to keep encouraging myself with this message, to keep pushing. Thank you, brother.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.